My name is Denise Avant, and I am president of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. I wanted to thank everybody for getting up at this ungodly hour to come and have breakfast with us. This is one of the highlights of our convention, which is our parent breakfast. We have been doing this ever since I've been involved with the NFBI and beforehand. And the person who has really been in charge of this event for all these many years is Debbie Stein, and she's in charge of most of our parent programming. I'm going to welcome you, but I'm going to have her come up and take over these ceremonies. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise, and can everybody hear me? Is this mic working?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to start out with introductions and let everybody find out who is here. Some of us can read name tags and some of us cannot. So I'm Debbie Stein, as most of you know, and let's start with the table that's over to the front on my left, your right. And just go around very quickly, say what your name is and where you're from.
I'm Soraya Manson. I've got my daughter here, Sydney Manson, blind, 8 years old. And I've got my mother-in-law, Gail, mother-in-law, Brett, and brother-in-law, Kyle.
Okay.
My birthday is on August 5th. I'm from Brookfield, Illinois, and I'm Soraya's daughter.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the wireless mics, I hope, are coming.
I think, okay. My name is Amanda Torihara, and I'm here with my son Kenji, my daughter Keiko. My husband's on his way. Kenji, do you want to introduce yourself? Like Sydney did? Kenji is 5 and a half, almost 6. He is visually impaired, and he just started kindergarten this year.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Joey Stanforth, and I'm here with my son Gabe Stanforth and my husband Kirk Stanforth.
You. Anyone else at that table?
Don Jordan from Chicago.
Okay.
Good morning. Bob Widman from Chicago.
Kyle Hahnemann from Minnesota.
Is that table?
Nancy Gardner, Hampton, and that's in the Quad City area.
Pat Olson, Quad Cities.
Bill Reif, I'm from Springfield, Illinois.
Morning, I'm Glenn Moore from Elgin, Illinois, member of the Chicago chapter and state secretary, and member of IAB.
Hi, I'm Pam Berman from Chicago, Illinois. But I am representing Guide Dogs for the Blind, so come out and visit me.
I'm Mary Dina. I am working with Pam, and I'm also from Chicago.
Julia Chang, also from Chicago.
Good morning. This is Francisco Chang, also from Chicago.
Patty Chang, your tickets for this morning are the red ones that have nothing cut out. If you could get me on your way out the door, if you have your tickets, we will collect them then.
I'm Becky DeNoy. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and my daughters Elena and Maria are here.
My name is Randy DeNoy, and I'm the father of Maria and Elena.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Linda Hendel, and I'm from Schaumburg, Illinois. At large chapter president.
Hello, I'm Leslie Hamrick, also from Schaumburg, Illinois, and I have recently become vice president of our large chapter.
My name's Kevin Hillebrandt. I'm from East Moline, Illinois, and I'm one of the board members of the Blackhawk chapter.
I'm Tori Clark. I am from the Quad Cities, more specifically Moline, and I am the president of the Blackhawk chapter.
Well, since I've already introduced myself, I'm just going to pass this on to the next person.
Joe Ruffalo from Bluefield, New Jersey, your national representative.
Another table?
Hello, my name is Seth James Howard, and I'm 16 years old, and I'm in 10th grade, and I'm so, so glad to be here at the National Federation of the Blind.
Okay. Yeah. The first time Federation.
And I live in Watauken.
My name is Amy Lund, and I'm the lead teacher for the Bell Academy in Illinois in both locations, Chicago and Springfield.
Good morning. My name is Haley Dare. I'm here with my son, my 10-year-old son, Aaron, and we are from Southwest Michigan. So we're happy to be having breakfast with NFB this morning.
Hi, my name is Aaron Dare, and I'm from Portage, Michigan.
I'm Kelly Wakefield. We're from Stewart, Illinois. I'm here with my son, Riker, who is 7, and my husband, Dean, is here with us. And Riker was in the Bell Academy in Springfield.
Hi, I'm Riker. And I'm 7.
I don't want to be awake. I'm Byron Lee, and I am now a new resident of Minnesota, working for State Services for the Blind and doing audio for the convention.
I'm Christina Cookie Roberts. I am here with Christopher Roberts, who's 11 and has done Bell Academy, I think, 4 years? Is that since inception? Up here, and we live a few blocks away.
Hi, I'm Evan.
I'm Zachary Griego-Dreiser. I have perhaps come the farthest of everyone here so far. I am an exchange to Northern Illinois University. I am the exchange student of Noelia and Everardo Camino in Berwyn, and I come from by Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is my first Illinois convention.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Casey. I'm here with my son, Sebastian Radionov, who at another table. We're from Chicago and happy to be here.
I'm Steve Hestalis, charter member of the NFB of Illinois, dating back to August 1968. I now serve as Chicago chapter treasurer, and that's about it.
Does anyone else want to introduce themselves?
Did we miss anybody?
It's another table.
Hello, I'm Luke Schwenk. I'm the National Student Representative. I'm from Wichita, Kansas.
Good morning. I'm Denise Brown from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm president of the Greater Philadelphia Chapter, visiting you this weekend.
Aziz Zaidia, one of the scholarship finalists. I'm a student at Northern Illinois University.
I'm Ashley Eisenminger. I'm from Tolono, Illinois.
Good morning, everybody. Kathy Randall, Jacksonville, Illinois, Amelia Island, Florida. I'm fundraiser, past president of the NFB of Illinois.
Adnana Sarek, one of the scholarship finalists from Chicago, Illinois.
I'm David Meyer from Forest Park, Illinois, suburb of Chicago.
Sarah Wilkinson, I'm from Sandwich, Illinois, and I also study at Northern Illinois University.
Hi, I'm Emma Meyer. I'm from Morris, Illinois, and I'm also a board member for the Illinois Association of Blind Students.
I'm Amy Bosco, and I am second vice president of Illinois Association of Blind Students, and I'm from Naperville.
I am Julietta Meyer. My daughter is Emma, and I'm from Morris, Illinois.
Did we miss anyone? Someone else came in?
It's Katie Linham. I'm from Rochester, Illinois, and I'm the president of IABS.
My name is Janet Linham. I'm Katie Linham's mom and also from Rochester.
Okay, is that everyone? Okay, I'd like to call Amy Lund up to the front. She's going to present our next program item, introducing some of the students from the Illinois Bell programs. Bell stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning, and Amy will tell you more about it and introduce you to some of our Bell alumni from the summer of 2016. So, Amy.
I'm pleased to be even with mics.
Yeah.
Especially the little.
Excuse me.
I have a mic over here. Oh, I'll come get it.
Okay.
I was going to introduce myself, but I don't want to interrupt now. But I'm Jalea, by the way. Hello. All right. So I will let you guys eat, and I will talk about the program a little bit.
Go ahead, Debbie.
And then I'll turn it over to the much more adorable portion, the kids. Like Debbie said, my name is Amy Lund, and I am the lead teacher for our Bell Academies here in Illinois. I've also helped out at many Bell Academies across the country, which has been a lot of fun for me. I am a teacher of blind students in Springfield, Illinois, and I've been doing that for 15 years. It's a lot of fun. And I've been very fortunate to link up with the NFB of Illinois and see some phenomenal student programs and be able to be involved. So it's been a lot of fun for me. Excuse me. The Bell Academy started in 2009 in Baltimore and has grown ever since. I believe this year we are looking at over 40 sites across the country. And so with Illinois having two of those, that is huge and fantastic. Both sites are very different. Chicago is a two-week day program. We take four field trips, and we are housed at the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind downtown. It's a great location. It allows us to use public transportation for all of our field trips. And with a city like Chicago, we have lots of options to explore and do different things. So we've done rock climbing and sailing and beat kickball at a park. Just exploring Millennium Park. We've done the Children's Museum. We've done a science museum. I'm going to lose like half the stuff we've done. It's just a lot of we've gone to the beach. The beach was a lot of fun. The biggest reason these programs work so well is because I have incredible volunteers and blind mentors. This gives the kids an opportunity to see successful blind adults in their life, able to travel independently, able to read Braille, and to stay current and have successful jobs. So if you have volunteered at a Bell Academy, make some noise. Oh, they're not awake yet. Where are my volunteers? They are an integral part of this program. They help make everything run smoothly. I also have a co-teacher, Samantha, who is in Texas, who can think for me. She can kind of know what I'm expecting and can do it before I can ask her. So that's a huge help. Springfield, on the other hand, is a little bit different. Springfield program is a one-week pseudo-residential. What we're able to do is put a parent and child pair up in the hotel and provide parent programming during the day, and the student program runs during the day as well. We take one field trip in Springfield because we're only there a week. It's so compact and busy, but a lot of fun. We are able to walk to the YMCA in town three days a week and do street crossings and safe stuff with that, and then a lot of fun at the Y. We've eaten at Olive Garden and done kind of family-style eating, and then last past year we did a service learning project and went to the Mary Bryant Home for the Blind, and the kids read to the residents. And so to interact with other blind adults and to be able to show that Braille is still alive and very meaningful and purposeful was really, really nice for them to see. I see some kids might have finished eating. If you haven't, that's okay. But if you have finished eating, come on up to the stage, and I'll kind of talk to you guys up here, okay? So I'll say that not in the mic. If you can come toward me, and we can have some of the kids talk about Belle and their experiences. Good morning. We did take the Metro train, too. You're right, Sydney. Wow. We've done lots of stuff. We went and had ice cream in Glenview. Is that where? I think that's where we went.
Hi. How are you?
Good? All right, so I have got lots of kids up here. So I'm going to give you the mic, and I want you to say your names again, okay?
Say your name. I'm Christopher, and I'm 11.
11?
I'm Aaron. And I am 10.
I'm Riker, and I'm 7.
All right, Sydney.
Hi, my name is Sydney. After this, I'm gonna have a song today.
Oh wow! How old are you, Sydney?
I am 8 years old.
Excellent. Hold on. Now I'm gonna go to Maria.
I am Maria. I am 10.
I am Elena. I am 10 years old.
Kenji's got bacon, so I don't blame him. Oh. How old are you? We're 5 and a half. Right. All right. So I'm going to ask the same question you guys can answer. What was your favorite part of Belle? So think about your answer. Get it in your brain. What was your favorite part of your Belle? And before they talk, I'll tell you which one they were at. So Christopher was at Chicago and has been at Chicago the whole time, which is awesome. All right, Christopher, what's your favorite part of Belle?
Mine is that I heard someone yelling.
You like that someone was yelling. It wasn't me, I promise. Maybe. Yep. Aaron was at our Springfield program.
When it was lunchtime and we got to put like those Cheetos bags and go to McTacos.
Aaron liked our walking tacos for lunch. So most of our meals, the students prepared for themselves and their mentors. And so they were either making sandwiches, so they'd make their sandwich, and they'd make a mentor or teacher sandwich. And one day we did have walking tacos. All right, Riker from our Springfield.
Lunchtime!
Why was the
Because, so lunchtime, like I just said, is still an educational experience. We use a lot of non-visual techniques, and it tastes good. Sydney. Sydney has been at our Chicago program for all of it. Hold on, I'm over here, hon. What's your favorite part of Bell?
Kid being weird.
Because you're allowed to do whatever you want? No.
No, but there's a kid over there.
Oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. No, all right. Elena's from our Springfield program. What's your favorite part?
Going to the Mary Brett for the blind.
That was your favorite part? Why?
To Mary Brett. Because I get to read a book to the residents.
Elena is a very good reader, and she read almost the entire book herself to our residents. It was a really great experience, yeah. All right, Maria, also from our Springfield, what was your favorite part?
YMCA.
The YMCA. In Springfield, we have access to the gym, and we're able to play beep kickball inside. We have hula hoops and jump ropes and do a red light, green light cane trip. So they have to use their canes, and they have to be in step using red light, green light as a game. So we have lots of fun over at the YMCA. Kenji, are we going to talk yet? No? All right.
Kenji told me, he's microphone shy, that his favorite things were Braille yoga and using tennis balls to make Braille letters.
We have lots of fun stuff. Braille yoga is a mat that we have laid out in the Braille cell, and the kids use their bodies to put their bodies, hands, head, whatever body part, onto the dot that makes up a letter or contraction that we're talking about. We also use the Braille rap dance or Braille rap song. That's a little long, but we go through the whole alphabet. And then using the tennis balls, we're able to use tennis balls and a muffin tin to simulate a larger Braille cell. So for someone just learning the Braille cell, that's a good way to kind of start out larger and work your way down. And Kenji has some vision, so it gives him a visual aspect and then goes to the tactile aspect. All right. Yeah, Miranda was one of our people too. All right, we've done a lot of trips. Can you guys tell me anything you remember from our trips? So that could be the bus, the L, the Metra, street crossings, because we do a lot of those, okay? So anything you learned about our travel skills? Christopher, do you remember anything about our travel skills?
I really like the bus.
The bus? Okay. Aaron, what do you remember?
Stopping at the truncated domes.
The truncated domes! We do a lot of discussion and using the right vocabulary. So those bumpy things at the crosswalk, those are truncated domes. Sydney, what do you remember?
I remember the thing where I remember going to the Metra train.
Yeah, when we took the Metra and then we walked and got ice cream and then had to take the Metra right back because that was a long travel time, short experience, but a lot of fun. Riker, do you remember anything about our travel?
At the highs. Stop at the highs.
Oh, well, we had to stop. We had a one place that didn't have the bumps, right? So we had to stop at the bank. Yep. When we were going to our YMCA.
What?
All right, Maria, do you remember anything about our safe travel? Did we do anything about different traffic stuff?
Why did we have to stop at the
Suburban?
What's that?
Suburban.
Elena, what is she
saying?
The traffic? Oh, you say that one, Elena.
I remember where the traffic was going perpendicular and parallel.
That's right. We do a lot of, like I said, vocabulary and talk about our parallel traffic and our perpendicular traffic and when it's safe to cross. You did that last night? That's good travel skills. Awesome. So I really enjoy what we do. We have a lot of fun. The kids are always enjoyable. I don't think... You know, we don't have too many meltdowns. Once they know that we're there to have fun, they've all worn learning shades, and they've all done different activities to increase their tactile sense. And hold on. To make sure that they're relying on their tactile sense, not just their vision. If they do have any and just a lot of fun, a lot of good experiences to build on. So this isn't, it doesn't replace summer school, it doesn't replace anything like that, but it definitely is a great way to bridge either 1 week or 2 week and have some more experiences. And maybe, you know, get some new ideas to do at home, to have fun with it, and to keep Braille going throughout the school year, or the whole year, not just school year. Yes, Kathy. Yes, here, I'll give you the mic.
We can never thank our donors too much. Since I help raise money for the running the NFB of Illinois programs, that's my longtime niche and I love doing it. I want to thank especially the Naperville Noon Lions Club, whose money has paid for a great deal of our two bell programs, some of our other funders who give us unrestricted money, such as the Leona Stanford Valentine Trust and Biardi. Patty, anybody else? Those are the big ones. So we want to thank them again and again and again for these wonderful bell programs that make so much difference. And boy, do I wish I'd had this when I was a kid. So thanks.
Thanks, AJ. All right.
Okay, I was at the Bell Program. So I was at the Bell Program, and there was this other people called it a boat, but I thought it looked like a tram. And now it's like this thing that rocks. It could go to another part of the playground, and you could, get to different places. And I have a song called
Did you like the boat?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And I have a song called I Thought It Looked Like a Tram.
Can we sing that later?
But first, I want to talk about how I liked it. So I liked it because the rides were fun.
Can you ask Christopher if
you
like the boat?
So, Christopher, did you like the boat?
Did you like the rocker boat?
Yes.
Oh, louder.
Yes.
The rocker boat is on the new playground at the Chicago Lighthouse. It's a lot of fun. It is wheelchair accessible. The entire playground is designed for kids with disabilities, and so it's a lot of fun to be able to go up there. And if I have some of my mentors here, like Emma and different people who had to actually physically rock the boat, like, so you're doing side lunges back and forth in order to rock this boat, and the kids just sit on the benches. So it's the workout for the mentors, for sure. So I'm glad it's one of your favorite things, Sydney, because it gives us our squats and our lunges. All right. Any other things about Bell Kids? Anything else you guys want to share? Your favorite mentor, your favorite teacher, anything else? Who's your favorite mentor?
I really liked Mary a lot because she is a good helper, and I like chatting and talking with her a lot.
I will have to tell her. Mary was one of our new volunteers. That was really nice. Christopher, do you have a favorite? Or can you remember any of our mentors?
Do you remember Bill?
Bill is a favorite. Aaron, do you
have
any guys?
You.
Me? Oh, I didn't pay him. I think Chris can give me the list of them right now. He's like, and Robert, and Dave. And Elijah, yep. Riker, do you remember any of our mentors?
Bill.
Bill? What about Katie in Springfield? That was a lot of fun. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
All right, do you remember any of our mentors or teachers?
Miss Samantha,
that's right. She was awesome. What about you?
Bill.
There's a common trend here, Bill. I might be losing my job to you. I'm so fortunate because Bill and Katie both volunteered in Springfield and Chicago. So they are central Illinois people going up to the big city and helping me out up there. And all of my mentors, I truly appreciate all of you, whether it's one day or all 10 days in Chicago. I could not do this without any of you, so I appreciate it. And the parents have been wonderful to me. They have been open and kind, and I know it's really scary leaving your child with a new person, some central Illinois teacher that you don't know. So I appreciate your trust in me and in the program and what we've been able to do, and I'm so excited for years to come. So thank you. Yep, Chiquita was on one of our mentors, and Ednana. We have lots of them, Christopher. All right, kids, if you need help getting back, let me know.
Come on, you can show
them. All right,
here.
Mommy, watch.
One time I found a boat on the playground. It looked like a tram. I thought it was cool. It was very cool. I like it so much, so much. It's fun to see, fun to look at, fun to Dad rocked on it. Fun to be on and very cool. Fun, fun, fun. All right, guys, give a round of applause.
Good job, Sydney.
And a big laugh.
Thank you, Sydney.
Nothing shy about her, huh?
If you aren't familiar with Bell Academy and you have questions, I will be here all day and at banquet. There's also lots of kids you can ask and parents who can kind of give you the scoop. But we would love to have more kids. Tell your friends, tell your classmates. And if you have any questions, I can probably field a couple, right, Debbie? Okay, any questions? Bell is Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning.
I want to volunteer. I've talked to you a couple of times, Amy. However, I barely know grade one and only know a few contractions in grade two. But I'm very good at traveling skills, so would that really affect my chances of being able to volunteer?
We have mentors that are very fluent in Braille. Those are really good on my days that, like, I stay at the Chicago Lighthouse. We do a lot of Braille activities, but we also have four travel days, and I have a one-to-one ratio, well, more than one-to-one ratio. I have a one-to-one ratio of blind mentor to student. So myself and Samantha typically don't have any children attached to us, and that kind of helps me make sure I don't lose anyone on the L, and we all get on the same bus. And so your travel skills would be a huge asset on those kinds of days. And come on the Braille days, see what you might pick up. Any other questions? Yes. There are a lot of parents here about their feelings. Any parent willing? I won't call anyone out.
Oh, Amanda.
Cindy's parents must be talking too.
So Amy said that about being nervous to leave your child, and I was very nervous because Kenji had only just been in preschool the first time we went, and I left him for, what, it's a 6-7 hour day?
Yeah, it's a full day.
But I have to tell you all that within one day, I was just so glad we'd registered for this program. I have the utmost confidence and respect for Amy and Samantha, who taught the program. It's incredibly well-run, well-organized, so much fun. And Kenji just came home with so much to say every single day about what he had done and what he had learned, the combination between classroom learning and field trips. I just can't express how valuable it's been to our family, and the fact that he started kindergarten this year, and the the foundation that gave him for starting to learn Braille. I'm just really grateful that he had 2 years worth of Bell before he got to his classroom setting of learning Braille. So anyway, we have just been so grateful and have loved our experience with Bell. So thank you, Amy.
Pego, did you want to say hi?
Or not.
Mom had it. Mom had the microphone. She's for jumping, wants to grab the microphone. Any other? Oh, Haley. Excellent.
Oh, goodness.
Good morning. My name is Haley Darum from Michigan. We came over to Springfield after attending National Convention. And it is. It's a hugely successful, awesome, very well-written program. When we first signed up, I didn't know if Aaron should attend because he has a lot of vision still. I was calling and saying, hey, are you sure he's blind enough to come to this? Because he's not total, so is it okay? And yes, send him. He can learn some things. And he has. He has learned a lot from attending that program, and the friendships that he's made, we're so excited to come because we get to see our friends, which is awesome. So now we have friends in another state, which is very cool. But, doing that program has really ignited a passion in me for these partially sighted kids, and I think when I go home to Michigan and start work on our Bell program, which will be so sad because we'll be doing Bell in Michigan instead of coming to Bell in Illinois, but I'm going to try to do both. I'm going to do both, I think, if I can swing it. I'm going to specifically reach out to those kids who have residual vision, partially sighted, whatever word you want to use, because it really does benefit those kids as well. They just don't know what's coming up in their future. So this program is huge that it will open the minds of parents like me who have a child who's partially sighted but are not functioning as well as they should. Braille is the answer. It is literacy no matter where your level of vision is, and I think that just instilled that deeper in me, and I think it instilled it deeper in Aaron that can be an answer for him, and that provides lifelong literacy for him, even if the conditions aren't perfect. So it is worth every travel expense, everything to come, truly, no matter where you are, just find a Bell Academy and go. And if your child is partially sighted, take them. It really, really does make a difference.
Excellent. Right. I'm Kelly from Stewart, Illinois. Riker and I went to the Springfield Bell, and we did not know what to expect because the only other thing we had ever been to was Opening Doors in Jacksonville, and that was a completely different experience. But it was really good to go to Springfield. I had the same issue because Riker does have vision that I didn't know if he should be there, but we decided just to go with it because his school is not really providing him services. So I thought, this is it. This is on me. I'm going to have to do it for him. So we did go. He had a really good time. He would, after every class, he would come tell me what we needed. Mom, we really need a Braille writer. I'd like this one. And I want a talking watch like Mr. Bill's. And we need to get this. And I need a folding cane. And it has to have the marshmallow tip. And he'd go on and on. He'd tell me exactly what he wanted. And it was good because up until then, it was always a struggle to get him to use his cane, to accept that he needed to use his cane. He relied strictly on his vision, which meant a lot of black eyes and bruises, and he fell pretty much on a daily basis. But now he sees that using a cane is okay, and he doesn't even have to be reminded to take it anymore. He just knows to grab it when he leaves in the morning and put it back in the corner when we come home at night. He talks about Braille. So it was an eye-opener for him to accept, this is what I'm going to have to do. So we will definitely be going back next summer so that he can expand on that.
I'm Christina, Christopher Roberts' mom, and like we said, he's been in the program like four,
4 years. I think we might have missed 1 year and then, no, did we miss a year? Because it conflicted with summer school, I think. When Christopher started the program, he didn't have any Braille skills. He had just moved school, so they were starting to work on his pre-Braille skills. He's still behind his typical peers as far as his reading levels, but he can read Braille. He enjoys it. I think that's a big part of the program is you're not in this forced school setting where there's this teacher on you all the time. It puts Braille in a fun sense. And most important to me when I first found out about the program and I was emailing Amy and I'm like, well, Christopher's not just blind. And I was always concerned at that age that these programs were for your typically functioning blind kids. And Amy's like, no, he's fine. And I'm like, but you understand he has meltdowns, he gets dip. It's fine, we'll give it a try. And he has loved it. So he looks forward to it. He doesn't fight about it in the morning. And it's a long drive for him. You know, we live here, blocks away from here. So in city traffic, you're talking an hour in the morning and an hour at night, traffic in the heat. But it is all worth it. He loves it. He talks about all of his mentors and all of his friends all the time. So we get here and he's on a microphone and he doesn't. But thank you to all that have worked with him. You mean a lot to him, in case he doesn't vocalize it to you personally.
I will say I flubbed the first field trip with Christopher and we had a meltdown. But that other than that, we have been ready to go, ready for the bus, ready for the L. But that was totally on me. Yeah, he did do, so he stayed back on that field trip day and did Braille with a mentor and a teacher while the rest of us went to the beach. But yeah, so that was a big success. That was our first year. Yeah. So I am very appreciative of the parents to speak up on the behalf of the program. I love it. I hope you get the passion about Braille, the passion about these daily living skills and social skills and travel skills, things to do non-visually. So hopefully you guys can be like, yes, let's send more kids, because I'll take them.
Okay.
Yes, Kathy. All right. Yes, if you have not already, because I know some of you have already sent some thank you letters, but if you could send them to Debbie so we can send them on to our donors, that would be greatly appreciated. I have some with pictures for them, and so that they can have, you know, adorable pictures of our kids. I do want to thank Soraya. She came on two of our, like, 2 days in Chicago and took amazing pictures of the kids. When Samantha and I are teaching, it's a little hard to one of us try to take pictures and do that sort of thing. And the pictures she was able to capture were incredible. So I am so grateful. A lot of the pictures that you see in the slideshow that I have been going up off to the side of the room have been of both Chicago and Springfield Bell Academies, and it was just a huge experience, and I greatly appreciate them, and they're amazing. So, all right. All right. Debbie, am I turning it back over to you?
Yeah. All the way up to the front. And our next speaker is our NABS rep. NABS is the National Association of Blind Students. Luke Schwenk is going to talk a little bit about confidence and competence and ingredients of thereof, or whatever else he would like to share.
Luke, do you want to go up to the front?
Yeah, Luke is for the morning. Yeah.
Is it Joe?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, wrong speaker.
Maybe the right speaker. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. You can both speak if you want. See, I'm not looking at my agenda. Okay, so that's Joe Ruffalo. Regroup here.
Regroup.
Joe Ruffalo
regroup.
Is the president of the NFB of New Jersey, which has a very active parents division and student division. He is our national representative because he's a member of the national board of the NFB. So he will now speak to us.
Okay, there we go. Get the microphone. Can you hear me out there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. First of all, let's give another round of applause for the Bell program, Bell students, Bell parents, Bell volunteers, Bell donors. And in honor of that, I always carry my little, I hope you can hear it. It's not much of a bell, but I always carry my bell with me. So that goes back in that pocket there. And let me see what I have here for you guys. Great pleasure to be here, of course. There we go. Let me get my notes together. There we go. How can one be competent without having the confidence of who they are? You must, in my opinion, you must feel comfortable who you are, be proud of who you are, then others will be able to accept you that much easier. There's no need to hide your blindness. No need to hide any other disabilities that you may have. And let me just talk about the word disability. I'm going to go out of order here a little bit. For those who are English majors and just the general public, look at the word disability. All right, we used to use the word handicap. And handicap, the research that I found, was used many, 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 many years ago when many people who were poor, didn't have a job, many with, quote, disabilities, would stand on the corner with cap in hand, hence the word handicap. And the words have been changed over the years. But the word disability, the prefix dis is negative. Disenchanted, disloyal, dishonest, disorganized. So it could mean a negative ability. It doesn't. We know that. One of our students, she was a 9-year-old student. Now she's a college graduate, graduated from NYU, former National State Scholarship winner, Shafika Hashash. At 9 years old, we were in Washington, and she was comfortable with who she was at that time and still is today. We marched on the Department of Education, trying to get some of them to listen to what we needed to have done. And Jim Gashel was running it that day and had a couple of kids run up to the microphone, gave him 30 seconds to do what they had to do. So she said what she said. She came back to our area. She says, Mr. Ruffalo, I don't have a disability. I said, all right, Shafika, tell me what you have. She said, I have a different ability. And that's what we have to a certain extent. But you have to feel comfortable and competent who you are to become. And in other words, to have respectability, and then that will grow into possibilities. Most important part. Many of us learn many of the skills and techniques of blindness. Many of our students and others in this room are very capable and competent with their computer skills, their cane travel skills, and all the other blindness skills that are needed. To me, the most important skills are those soft skills. Dressing properly, acting properly at a dinner setting or breakfast setting. Doing the things that you need to do to feel comfortable and competent to who you are. Learning how to handshake, that's so important. Learning how to be in a group, how to take charge of a group, how to be a soldier in that group, not necessarily the leader all the time. Those are, to me, the most important skills you can learn. Because many of us in this room have really good blindness skills, and that's wonderful. Those soft skills are powerful. How do you get confidence? By doing and failing. The more you fail, the more confidence you have. Kind of a strange thing to say, but it is. So many people, oh, I tried that last week. It didn't work. Forget it. Doesn't work. Keep trying. I was telling one of the affiliate members a story. I ran a group for high school students ages 14 through 18, and we were talking about lots of things that day, and I said to the students, there is a cleaning product. I know you guys are teenagers. You have no idea what a cleaning product is, but believe me, there is a cleaning product called Formula 409. I said, I want you to take a guess how many times that team of scientists got together and tried this formula and that formula until they came up with their winning product. How many? One kid says, oh, I know, Mr. Ruffalo. How many? 156? No, a little bit higher. 190? No. I'll give you a hint. It's called Formula 409 for a reason. That's somebody. Now, Formula 352 might have been great, and Formula 407 might have been pretty, but they weren't satisfied until they found 408 ways that it didn't work. So keep trying. The more you try, the more you fail, the more you fail, the more you'll succeed. That's the key to life. Never give up. That's another cut. So planning today for your child's tomorrow starts today. Absolutely. What is the key to having your child feel important? Giving him this, if he's in a household with other brothers and sisters, and Mary at age 8 was able to fill up the dishwasher at age 8, why can't your, quote, blind child, if you want to call it that, fill up the dishwasher at 8? Take out the garbage. Learn how to do some weeding. Clean up your room, guys. Learn how to do laundry. Be part of a winning team. I'm going to try something. I was telling this to Denise. Can someone out there take out their note taker and take notes? This is a class participation. Anyone want to volunteer? Do we have a yes? We'll have Debbie, you don't mind? Okay. I'm going to give it a try. Good. Okay. We're going to try a partial here. Let's see what happens. Can I take this microphone? I like taking the microphone out. There we go. I would never get it back in, but it doesn't go too far. I should leave it. Okay, let me put it back in here. Okay, Debbie, on your Braille note, write down, what is the secret to success? We've heard that before, haven't we? So maybe one person at each table can come up with an answer so we can get done, so we can start our program. So what is the secret to success? We'll start. And here, I'll start first. The secret to success is hard work. Just keep it short. One word. So hard work. Well, close. I'm from New Jersey. Come on. Hard dash work. There you go. Hard work. Let's put that in there, okay?
Hard crowd.
All right, next table. Just yell it out. Persistence, hard work and persistence. Next. Motivation. Confidence. Anyone else? Literacy. All right.
You get a gold star at the Bell program, I can tell.
Listening, excellent. Communication. Understanding. We're going fast to you, Debbie? You're okay. No. All right, you got it. Understanding. Excitement. One or two more. Say again?
Set goals.
So that's two words, but we'll accept it. We'll accept it. Hyphen. There you go. You learn quick. goal setting. Okay, good.
Acceptance.
Any other secrets to success? Just patience and one more. Problem dash solving. Keep it. Problem solving is fine. Someone said discipline too, I think they said. Okay. You know, there's many, many other words we could throw in there. But Debbie, as soon as you have them done, can you read them off real loud?
You want me to read them all off.
The secret to success
is hard work, persistence, motivation, confidence, literacy, listening, communication, understanding, excitement, goal setting, acceptance, patience, problem solving, discipline.
So, you've always heard that before. What's the secret to success? There's no secret. We just talked about it. So if you can do those things and concentrate on those, there's no secret to success. That's what you need to do to be successful. All what Debbie just read out to us. Problem solving. Let me give you a little. I'll take that. Cindy, did you say they can applaud now? Okay, Cindy said you can applaud now. Thank you, guys. Cindy's my public relations person over there. It's good. But problem solving is so key. We were in Washington seminar many years ago through our LEAD program, and we were able to go down on Sunday. So we were there Sunday, and before the seminar started at 1 o'clock, we decided to take the students over to the museum, Air and Space Museum, which is not too far from the hotel. So our six students, myself and Geraldine Higgins, our vice president and the affiliate and another mentor, had six students with us. And I wanted to go over to the museum. That's what we decided to do. So we had one of the students. We were all together, but I chose one student. And I said to her, Mary, I want you to go up to that desk, get good verbal directions to the museum, and you got to tell us what the gentleman said. Now, we're all standing there. So when you're facing somebody, and he says to her, go out the door and make a right. Well, does he mean his right or your right? And I just sat back and listened. Go out the door, make a right, head east on whatever street he said. And he gave some other directions too, very simple directions. So after the directions were done, we got in a corner. I says, Mary, what did he say? He says, go out the door and make a left. Are you sure he said? Yeah, he said make a left and whatever. Her directions were not correct. So they started arguing right in the lobby. I said, now, wait a minute. Mary got the directions. We've got to follow Mary. And it was a cold, nasty day. Remember, head east. We go out the door and the sun now is behind us. We're not heading right. So Geraldine says, Joe, we're going the wrong way. I said, I know it. You know it. Let's see how long it takes them to know it. He said it's about a 10, 12-minute walk, 15-minute walk maybe. After 25, 30 minutes, one guy goes, Joe, we're lost. We walked over railroad track. We were all over the place. So he says, John, stay calm. We've got a problem. So we are not lost. Where are we? I said, I know exactly where we are. Where? Washington, D.C. We're not lost. But where? On a street. He got real panicked. Just take a deep breath. We've got to figure this out together. It's called problem solving. So I said, we got to listen to some footsteps. I hear some footsteps coming down the icy path here. We got to ask directions. So he gets all excited. Excuse me. He gets all excited, says what he has to say, and the person says, no, speak English. He says, that didn't work. I said, okay, that didn't. Let's problem solve. Let's walk up to the corner. We hear some traffic up there. Got to the corner. We heard, we could tell there was a red light. I motioned to roll the window down. The guy rolled his window down. We said what we wanted to do. He gave us very good directions, and we got to the museum. And everybody, oh, we're here. Oh, God. So we did our tour. After the tour, we have to get back for 1 o'clock for a student seminar. Grant paid for us to do this stuff. We're ready to leave, and all of a sudden it started hailing out. Huge hailstones came out. So I said, we have to problem solve here. Guys, we cannot miss this meeting. The grant says we got to go to this. They pay. We got to get to this meeting at 1 o'clock. But it's hailing. I mean, they were pretty big hailstones. So let's think of all the options. We could walk in this and get hit in the head with all those hailstones. We could wait for it to stop. We could miss our meeting. Or we could take a cab. We're allowed to take a cab? I said, absolutely. That's how I problem solve. I'm not going to walk in this stuff. So we got into the cab, and this is the best part of the story. We went about, 300 yards. Made a left, went 50 yards, and that was the hotel. That was it. So, Joe, that hotel was... I wanted you to learn a good lesson. That was in 1998. 2 years ago, one of the students in that group got married, and I'm at the table with John, who got all panicky, and the groom came over, and we sat at the table, we talked, and he says, Joe, can I tell you something? You can tell me anything you want. You're the groom today. After today, she is the boss. Say whatever you want. So he says, I never forgot what you taught us in Washington. So what did I teach you? To stay calm, to problem solve. That was the best lesson you ever did. I said, well, I appreciate that. It's only the best lesson because you guys learned from it. So that's what we're here for. Sometimes things just don't go right at Bell or in the affiliate or in a home setting or in school. My key question I use to tell my kids all the time, what did you learn from this experience? How can you make it better? What are the things that you need to do? So, well, they didn't let me do this, and they said that I could. Well, what can you do to make that better? How can you fit into that group? We had one girl talking about being competent. She wanted to join a group in her school, and she was really not welcomed. And she had a real love for animals. So I said, well, why don't you start your own group? Pet club, I don't know. What do you want to, you know, think about it. You have to go through the guidance counselor and they have to vote on all that kind of stuff. But this way you can organize your own group. You can be the president of your own group or just be an officer in that group. Get others, and then you will run that group and other kids will join that group who are sighted, who are your peers. So she did that and had it on her resume, and a couple years later she was a national scholarship winner. Not for that reason alone, she was a very bright young lady, but Stephanie Zundel, who goes to school in Tennessee at Van, I think it's Van, remember her? Yep. Yep, from New Jersey. Of course, I always brag about New Jersey. It's hard to brag about New Jersey, but every so often we can brag about New Jersey. So if you take anything away from my presentation today, learn your skills. Learn them. Practice them. Make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. We find another way to get the job done. That's the key. Don't be afraid to fail. Every time you fail, you're one step closer towards success. Be proud of who you are. Because if you're not proud of who you are, how do you expect others to be proud of who you are? If you don't feel comfortable and competent who you are, how do you expect others to feel the same way? I never said be cocky. Never said that. Be confident. And that's really the key. Be confident in who you are. I have another story I'll tell you real quick, and then I think my time will be up. But talking about problem solving, I was a massage therapist in our local hospital for several years, and I got the hospital to give us a couple of rooms for our program. So we broke down into small groups for discussion, and it was getting to be 3:00. We had to meet in the main room for a follow-up, and I lost track of time, and over the loudspeaker,
Joe Ruffalo, please go to Greifinger Hall.
Oh my God, I forgot. So students grabbed their canes and were running down the hallway. There were 6 in my group. 5 used canes and 1 did not. We're running down the hallway, and all of a sudden you hear Jimmy say, hey guys, wait up. So we waited for Jimmy, and he got to, and we took off again. Hey guys, wait up. So we waited. The third time, took off. Hey guys, wait. Finally, Serena Cuco said to me, Joe, is this one of your teaching techniques? I said, what makes you say that? You're trying to show Jimmy that he needs a cane without telling him really, and this is a really good lesson. I said, that's exactly what I'm doing. Exactly. How did you figure that out? After it was over, the next day, this was on a Sunday, I think, next day I get a call from Jimmy's mom. Hello, Joe Ruffalo. How are you today? Joe, this is Terry. What did you do to my son? I said, uh-oh. What did I do to your son? We've been trying to get him to use a cane for 3 years. He got in the car and says, Mom, I'm calling the commission tomorrow. I need a cane. I need mobility lessons. What did you do? I said, we just showed him the importance of cane. So you guys can do that too. Use your cane proudly. Use it wisely. Don't use it as a sword fight in school. You have a right to use your cane. You have a right to use it, but you also have a responsibility. Those who drive, it's a privilege, they say in the driving manual, a privilege, and it's a right for you to drive, but there's responsibilities that come with it too. So be proud of who you are. Any questions? Anybody sleeping? Hey, if I have a minute or two left? All right, I was a massage therapist, so let's just try something for a second. When everybody sit quietly, put your hands on your knees, on your knees, not on her knee. Put your hand on your knee. I forgot there's kids here, I'm sorry. Okay, now just everybody close your eyes. Take three deep breaths through your mouth. Exhale slowly through your nose. Through your nose. Three deep breaths. Three deep breaths. Now, keep your eyes closed. Keep your hands on your knees. Take a deep breath and raise your head to the ceiling. Very slow. The slower you do it, the better you are. Very, very slow. So your head is, eyes are looking at the ceiling as best you can. Take a deep breath. Come back to the straight ahead position. Take two more deep breaths. Nice and big. One more. Nice and big. Okay, open your eyes. Now you can say, everybody, that Joe Ruffalo gave you a facelift. Thank you. You got to have fun with this organization. Anybody have any questions? I have a minute or two left, don't I? And your name? Yeah, I have a minute. Okay. Say your name and where you're from and how much money you got to give me for this question.
So, say
your name.
My name is Sydney.
I thought so.
And I want to ask, why do people use these canes when they're blind?
Well, let me ask you a question. Why should they use their canes when they're blind? Or even, you know, a cane is not a blindness tool. It is a low vision device. And I get a kick out of that. Some of my students, you know, they're in high school. They're the only blind kid in school. They don't want to use their cane. They'd rather walk around like Frankenstein in school and put their hands out and chip over backpacks and walk into door frames. And I said, that looks normal?
It does not look normal.
Of course not. To answer that question, I'll give you another story. I love stories. You can tell that. In our program, we have a young man who says he uses a cane just to keep us happy, I think. But I found that he did not use his cane. He went to his junior prom. And at the junior prom, they took the elevator upstairs, all well and good. And they had their dinner, and then the photographer wanted them to walk down the spiral staircase to the bottom by the fountain.
Oh, no.
And it was his turn to go down with his date, and this is the saddest thing of all. Again, he wanted to look normal. He wanted to fit in with his sighted peers. He went down the stairs like a two-year-old child would, with his butt on each step going down. And I said to his, and that looks normal? Oh, my goodness. So someday, hopefully soon, he'll use his cane, and he'll be up here telling you that story. So that's why we use a cane. It's a low vision device. I keep telling students who don't want to use a cane, I say, well, what kind of blindness tools do you use? You use a screen? Oh, yeah, I use a screen reader. I use enlargement. I use Zoom text. So you do use low vision devices, yes. Well, a cane is a low vision device. It's also a no vision device. We had one student one time. First day there, the parents come on the first day, and he had his cane with him. I said, hey, good, you're a cane traveler? Yeah, only during the day. I said, only during the day? What do you mean? At night, I can't see, so I don't use a cane. I said, whoa, wait, time out. I said, say that again? I use a cane during the day because I can see pretty good at night. I don't go anywhere at night. I said, you got to go to college next year, right? Yep. Suppose you have a 5 o'clock class. It's September. Now it's October, and the clocks change. What do you do then? Quit school? Or your friends want to go out at night to a basketball game? What are you going to do? Oh, I have to study? Or I have a headache? Why are you belittling yourself? The next day he called the commission and demanded cane travel skills. Sometimes you have to be hard on people. Sometimes you have to do that. So to answer your question, it is a low vision device, a no vision device. It gives you confidence to travel, or you can, and some people want to use a guide dog, and that's fine. But before you use a guide dog, most schools want you to be a good cane traveler. Because sometimes your guide dog, you don't want to take your guide dog to the bar where there's loud music, or to a concert, or to the beach on a hot day, or whatever. You may just want to, you know, give that dog a little break, and you want to just go. So have good, oh, your dog could be sick. Just think you're working, and your dog is ill.
Boss, I can't come in for 3 weeks. My dog is sick.
How does that look? How does that sound?
Pathetic.
Yeah. So did I answer your question, or am I a politician from the East Coast?
I got a question.
You have a question. Yes, sir. Your name?
Thank you. Javon Baker?
Yes. Are you related to Cindy?
No.
Okay, good. Good.
No.
Go. Cindy, I'm only teasing you. I love you, kid.
My question is, being someone who's going through school right now, using different, you know, assistive tech and getting used to traveling with my cane, you know, when I go out into the city or anything like that. For sighted individuals, you know, reacting to me using my different tech in class, or, you know, people seeing me out in the street with my cane, usually curiosity kind of comes off as, honestly, it's a little insulting if they honestly don't know anything about, you know, the process of, you know, how I do different things, or the way I use my cane, or how I use my tech. And the questions seem a little derogatory, or, you know, they seem a little ignorant to the fact that I'm using this stuff to help me. My question is, how do I, you know, what's a good way to, if I'm trying to find a better word for cope, to kind of, you know, work around those questions to answer in the most polite way without feeling like, how can I avoid feeling, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. That question comes up quite a bit. And we thought about it in our small group that we had back in New Jersey. And the best way to answer questions is to answer them ahead of time. What I mean by that is, go into the classroom with your computer, whatever you have, and Braille notes or whatever you have, and just go in with your head held high and say, guys, my name is Johnny. Let me show you what I need to do to and believe me, it works. We had a young lady who is teaching in New Jersey, and she uses a closed circuit TV quite a bit and screen reader, and she just started using it. This is years ago, and she says, I don't know how the kids are going to react. I said, here's what you got to do. The first day of class, she had second and third graders. You got to take 1 hour out of your time in the morning, first day of school, and have every kid go up there and use your closed circuit TV. Let them use it. Let them see it. Let them tap your cane, and then there's no more issues ever. And she said that worked out great. So sometimes you have to just show people what you have. You have to be confident and competent who you are, feel good about yourself to do that. Some kids will want to see it. And some kids will laugh, and some kids won't bother. But you showed them instead of you being on the receiving line. I don't know if I made myself clear in that, because yeah. I'm from New Jersey and I don't know how to talk.
Yep.
So really, that's really the whole key. Thank question you. Over here.
This is going to have to be the last one, because we have to vacate this room and let the hotel clear off the dishes so we can come back at 9 o'clock and start our serious day. So one more question.
One more question. And your name is?
My name's Amy. Just going off of kind of what he was saying, and when you were talking about acceptance, I find myself in a situation like just going through school every day. I'm very confident in, you know, traveling and using my cane, and I don't, you know, I don't get offended. But like socially, you know, when people just don't seem to get that you're normal, even though you act as professional as possible, how do you personally deal with acceptance, or do you have any personal experience where you just kind of got to a point where you were willing to accept that other people might not realize you're blind and you can do things?
Great question. In New Jersey, we slap them. No. Again, it comes, you know, everyone is not going to really accept other people's disabilities. So just know that for a fact. But be confident who you are. That's really the best way. I really have no problem going anywhere. I'm a blind guy, big deal. I happen to be handsome. Anybody blind out there? No. But that's my character. I like to have fun. I make every situation a learning situation. I can cross the street. Absolutely. Someone will come up behind me. Sir, do you need any help crossing the street? I learned this from Dr. Jernigan. And sometimes he would say, yes, I do. He really didn't. But let me, you will use it as a learning educational ticket. Let me show you, sir, how it's done. Let me hold your elbow slightly. I'll use my cane in front of me. And I give him a quick 1-minute speech when we go across the street. And he's happy. He learned the proper way. He doesn't stand behind like a robot on the shoulders and push you like the conga line stuff. So just, you know, Dr. Jernigan said it better than I can ever say it. Constantly, will never end, educating the public. And before you can educate the public, you need to educate yourself. That blindness is a characteristic. We have respectability, which lead to possibilities. That's the key. We will lead to opportunities. Before you can go, you have to stop. Before you can go, you have to stop. STOP, you need skills, techniques, opportunities, and from all that comes so many possibilities. So before you can go, you need to stop. It's like you're sitting on a chair right now with four legs on it. If one leg was wobbly, yeah, you can still sit on it, but it's wobbly. You need four good solid legs. Same thing in our organization. You need four good legs. You need the national organization, the state affiliate, chapter, and the fourth leg that keeps it together is you, the members. So keep that in mind. Will you solve every problem in this world? No. People think I'm still at my own mom, who I have five in our family. Three of us are blind. My mother called my sister one day. I was over at her house. She was ill at the time before she passed. I made her oatmeal, instant oatmeal, big whoopie-doo. She got on the phone and says, Jane, Joe made me oatmeal. Isn't that wonderful? He's awesome. I said, Ma, come on. This oatmeal, it's hot water poured into a dish. But here's my own mom with three capable blind people. My brother Rich was a Paralympian, won many medals around the world. My sister Jane is a music teacher. She's now really involved in NFB. She's our senior technology division president. We're all capable and competent people, better skills than others. Some have better skills than I, and that's okay. Be comfortable and confident who you are, which I am. Can I do better? Sure I can. We all can. But I'm proud of who I am because of the Federation. They believed in me before I believed in myself. So let's end it right there. Yep. Yes. Okay. Yes, right?
Thank you.
Yep.
Joe, thank you so much. This has been absolutely wonderful. And Tori Clark has just one quick comment, and then
sure, Tori,
we're going to
wrap
it up, and we'll reconvene at 9 o'clock.
And I'm also a mind reader. Tori's asking this question. Joe, do you take $50 bills? Yes, I do. Nah, man.
I have no $50 bills to give you, Joe. I wanted to make a comment about concerning Amy and Javon's questions. Having some personal, being closer to you guys' age, no offense, Joe.
Thank you.
I've had some experience with having to gain respect and just basically respect from people that were my own age. And basically the way you do that is you just be yourself. People are not going to accept you right away, but if you show them that, you know, you are confident with yourself, you have your, you know, you have your skills, you can work at the level of your peers, then eventually you will not be seen as helpless or blind, but you will be respected and you'll be seen as an equal.
Excellent. You got to respect yourself first and be comfortable with who you are, and then others will accept you. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time. Not everyone's going to be your best friend. Everyone's going to be your buddy. Some people say to me, Joe, you must have 100 best friends. No, I have one or two best friends, and I have maybe five or six really, really good friends and a lot of great acquaintances. That's all you need in life. A lot of acquaintances, that's important too. But just be friendly to people. You never know who you meet at a train station, on a plane. I like to talk on a plane. I give people headaches on a plane, but I like to talk on a plane. I've gotten some donations from people on a plane too, which is pretty good. So there's another fundraiser for you. When you're flying out to Washington or wherever you're flying out, just start chit-chatting. It works out pretty good. So anyway, before I forget too, I'm going to say this in my report later on, but I don't want to forget this. The World Blind Union, Dr. Schroeder is our president. I'll mention that later on. There was a gentleman who went to the World Blind Union from West Africa, Ghana, West Africa, and he ended up in New Jersey, and he called me on the phone. He said he was told to call me from those who were in Orlando. So we talked on the phone. He was going to stay in New Jersey, and we hooked him up with a chapter meeting to our chapter president, and another person went to meet him for dinner. And he's very competent. His blindness skills weren't the greatest, you know, but that's okay. And he ended up going back to West Africa. He called me the other day. He's on our mailing list. He wants all our information. And so you just don't know who you got to meet and make a difference in somebody's life. And if we can teach him our NFB philosophy, he goes back to West Africa and teaches people there. Look how we grow. Look how we grow. So anyway,
thank you. This is wonderful, and we'll hear more from Joe later on today.
Now, if you just stand up for a moment, because we have to leave this room, right? Yeah. So everybody, just stand up. This is my last exercise. Everybody, stand up. It's not a facelift. Don't worry. I'm going to say my name, and I want you to applaud. Joe Ruffalo. Applause. Come on. All right. I bet my wife $10 I get a standing ovation. Thank you. Well, close enough. It's semi-ovation. No, I'm just teasing. There you go. Perfect timing. What do you want, guys? Respect, right? You get respect when you give respect. Respectability. Name of the game.